What series are we doing?
Honor.
Now we have talked about honoring God. We talk about honoring authorities. We talk about honoring church leaders. Today we're talking about honoring parents. Straightforward. Nothing fanciful today. It's straight from the Ten Commandments. The fifth commandment says, honor your father and mother. So today's message is going to be very straightforward because God gives his command and that instruction is laid out in the tablet where Moses took it down. There is no in between the lines that you have to pick it out. You don't have to like try to interpret so hard. Honor father and mother, period. It's just that simple. So there are many scriptures that's given to us in the Old Testament and in the New Testament that state, honor your father and your mother. I'll wait for Kat. And so if you do not know the Ten Commandments, maybe we look at the tablet one more time. Right, okay. It says, first you shall have no other gods before me. Shall we read together? You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Hold. Pause. Selah. The first four commandments, it is us and our relationship to who? God. Okay? It's vertical. It's towards God. Number five. Honor your father and your mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet. Fifth commandment. Honor your father and your mother. I'm just going to ask Kat to just type up all these scriptures that you may want to take it down. Exodus 20:12. You have Deuteronomy 5:16. Deuteronomy 27:16, Ephesians 6:2, 1 Timothy 5:14, Mark 7:8 to 10, Luke 18. Let's look at Exodus 20:12. So this fifth commandment is not confined to the Old Testament, but it is given in the New Testament as well. Exodus 20:12. Honor your father and your mother, comma, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. The fifth commandment is the first commandment that comes with a promise. Honor your father and your mother, and God promised that you will live long in the land that God has given to you and to me. The fifth commandment comes with a promise. Ephesians 6:2. Ephesians 6:2. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. That is New Testament. 1 Timothy 5:14. The scripture says, so I counsel younger widows to carry, to have children, to manage the homes, and to give the enemy no opportunity for slander. Some have in fact already turned away to follow Satan. Is that 14 only? Go on. Okay. I can't remember which version I wrote down, but my version says that you honor so that to repay their parents, for this is pleasing in the sight of God. We talk about honor meaning to give the due respect and the due unto the person, first of all, honor God, and then all these authorities and leaders, and today we're talking about parents, and honor, the first time I talk about honor, what did I demonstrate to you? Who remember? Ta-da! Shall I pick on someone? What is honor in action? If I say don't speak, but just show me what is honor. Come, Andrew. Show.
Go below and then lift up.
Yep. That's right. Very good, student. You remember. So honor actually in the right analogy, if you do not understand what giving due respect is actually bowing down, putting your arms under and lifting that person up or that subject. Understand? It's going down, put your arm under and lift up. Meaning to say, whoever sits on top here, I'm going to carry you wherever you want to go. That is honor. And so when we talk about parents, we're not talking that you carry your parents everywhere you go, right? But your parents carry you everywhere they went when you were little. At least I did. My friend, when I went back, I was in nursing. So when I went back to the hospital one day, some time back, and I met one colleague. And we started talking, and then she found out I have 4 kids. She said, "Ayo, you don't give birth anymore lah." I said, "Why?" She said, 4 is a lot for you. You are so tiny. Your frame is so small. It's very, very bad. I said, "Why?" She said, "Because you're too small." So I said, "But by God's grace, I'm still here. I've already given 4. If I could, I probably would have given 6 or 8 if I plan properly. But you see, in that 4 children, I have embraced them and walked with them. From the minute they were conceived in my womb, I carried them. From the day they were born, I carried them. I tied them with me. We call them baby wearing. And I wear my baby. I don't put my baby in a stroller. It's just too much hassle. And somehow Malaysian babies and stroller are not in good relationship. And Malaysian roads are not made for strollers. We're just hopeless with strollers. And so I always tell my friend, forget it, man. I'll just bind them to me all the time. And I don't have to be afraid that I'll lose my child. And they're always with me. And people ask me, how do you do ministry with 4 kids? I said, when they have to be with me, I tie them to me. When they need to sleep, I put them down in the sarong. Because that sarong, you open up, you put it down and they sleep. And when they're toddling, they let them run. They'll survive. They won't die. They survived. 18 years already, Ashlyn survived. So, I honor my children. Now, why do we want to talk about honoring our parents? Because it is a commandment of the Lord. Firstly, why do we want to honor? Because it's a command. It's a principle of love. And the honor we're talking about is an inward attitude, which we talk about. It's a state of our heart. And that should also be reflected or balanced with an outward action of love and gratitude. So it's an inward attitude that is reflected with outward gratitude. Are you with me? That is honor. So I'm not asking you to carry your parents everywhere you go. You may have to when they are sick. You may have to. But that is carrying them in our heart. Carrying them in our spirit. Carrying them in our thoughts. The Bible actually says that cursed is the man who dishonor his father and mother. And that is a very strong word. Cursed is the man who dishonor his father and mother. Very strong. So you see, the first 4 commandments in the 10 commandments deals with God. But the first in the remaining commandment that deals with people begins with dealing with our parents. And that's the first human being you ever know when you're born, right? Your first contact in this world is your parents. And God placed a deep emphasis, a heavy emphasis on honoring them. And so very simply say, it is a principle of love. It's an instruction. It's a command from the Lord that we have to heed. Period. It's as simple as that. Why do we need to honor? Then how do we honor? How do we honor our parents? Now, very sadly, when we look at our world today, there is a lot of emphasis in honoring children, which is good. But if you think carefully, with all the commercialized advertisement and system, the honoring our children has taken overboard. Any business that deals with kids sells, whether it's toys, education, gadget, recreation, head start to anything that you can think of for your kids. I'm not sure about the US, but it sells in Malaysia for sure. It sells in Singapore for sure. Because I will say the culprit of all this is my generation and my peers. Because we grew up with McDonald's, you know, this McDonald's generation. My parents never had McDonald's. But my generation, we just want to give our best to our kids. And so, the smart aleck of this whole thing, it comes in commercialized package. Head start to reading. Promise 2 years old, if you take this reading program, your children guarantee will read by two. It sells like hotcakes. When I became a mom, I was a big kiasu as well because I knew we wanted to homeschool. But I was cracking my head. How do I go about designing my curriculum? Because we don't buy one and we want to save budget. And so we have to be creative to think, how do we do this on a shoestring budget? And so I became very worked up to design, hopefully to be able to compete with what the world promises, a head start to your kids. And then not too long later, I found that this is just too stressful. It is not natural. If you have the Bible and you have God, there's more than enough. If you keep reading the Bible to your kids and keep praying, even without a curriculum, I guarantee you, I dare to guarantee you, just with prayer and the Bible, just read the Bible and pray, they will read without a reading program. Chrysaline read at the age of 18 months. I'm not here to boast to you. I'm here to testify the goodness of the Lord without a reading program. 18 months, most kids are not even able to talk yet. She was already reading. And I was skeptical. Some of you heard this story. I was skeptical because I thought she just memorized when she asked me to give her words so that I'm like, do you even know what the concept of reading, you know, like writing words for her. And then I knew she could read when one day we went to a restaurant, she asked for mushroom soup. And I don't know why that day Edward and I decided no mushroom soup, Krista. And so we told her no mushroom soup in this restaurant. And she opened the menu and she flip and she point and she, but there is mushroom soup here. And then we look at each other, we see, she reads. And so I'm here to testify that we don't need the best head start that the world offers us. We need God. We need the word of God. We need prayer. We need a living relationship with God. People ask me, how do you do your homeschool? I don't know. I walk by faith, not by sight. Every day is a new day. Every day, it's God in our homeschooling. And we actually threw that word out and we use it unschooling because it's unconventional kind of homeschooling. But what I'm saying here is there's so much emphasis on honoring children overboard in our generation. We forget there is a lack and a negligence of the parents and aging group of parents. So much emphasis on the value of make sure, because when we grow up, children are not supposed to talk. There is no voice to be heard. There is no such thing as your say. In my home and my culture, children are to be seen, not to be heard. Right? Yeah. And so Malaysian school kids in my time are very easy to teach if you are a school teacher. We just take everything down the teacher say. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We will not dare to rebel against our parents, against teachers, against authorities. I'm not saying it's all good, because in some way we are suppressed because there's no room, enough room for expression. But in many ways, I think it's good in comparison to now, because children and teenagers have too much say. Too much. All my youth, they're not their head. Actually, one mother told me, when you speak on honoring parents, I'm going to make sure my child is here. And so I text the mom. I say, I'm speaking on honoring parents today. You can go and guess, huh? And so, because there is so much emphasis on children, we forget about the parents. And so my in Chinese, in Hokkien, one of my colleagues say, what's the ji zhap si hao in ma? Understand not? Ji zhap si hao in ma? Oh, how do I translate that? 24 hours of a filial piety mother. Meaning to say, I serve my kids 24/7. Whatever they want, I'm there for them. I drive them to tuition. I drive them to sports. I pack their food. I put their hot drinks in a hot flask. I put cold drinks in the cold. I'm always there for them. She said, I'm a 24. It's very hard to translate. It doesn't sound nice when you do it in English. But what she meant is, I'm always there to serve my kids. Is it good? Yes, she's a good mom. She's a good mom. But what I'm saying is, we have to also teach our kids that, hello, there must be an honor in return as well. Not that mothers and fathers do things for you so that you honor them back, but simply because the word of God says so. It is a command. So, you see, we children, we come out from our mother's womb. The first thing we do is, cry, right? We cry. We scream for attention. That is the very first thing we do when we come out from our mother's womb. You didn't come and say, hello, good morning, mama. Thank you for delivering me. Oh, thank you for all the pain. No, we come out screaming for attention. It's me. Look at me. I'm hungry. I'm naked. I need to be clothed. I'm cold. I'm hot. I'm dirty. And as a mom, Josephine, you will have to learn to differentiate the cry of your baby. Are they hungry? Are they in distress? Are they sick? Are they in pain? Is it because they poop? Or is it they pee? They need to be changed. What kind of cry is that? Someone used to cry means cry lah. No. When you have a baby, you need to learn the language of your baby's cry. And so we scream for attention the very moment we come out. And society now emphasize on that demanding culture of babies. It's me, it's me, it's me. It's my needs. We want to be fed, we want to be clean, we want to be cuddled. You know, in my house, we have to practice. When I became a mom, I told the Lord, you got to teach me how to demonstrate all five languages of love. Because children need all five. They have primary one and they have a secondary. But children, you just need to give them all five. But balance it with discipline and truth. Get me? So that they know that they will be loved. But at the same time, they know that love will also include discipline. And so in my house, I'm a busy mom because I found out my kids need quality time. And so mama has to be there all the time because they need quality time. They don't say, mom, you didn't buy me that. I'm so thankful, you know. So thankful that none of my kids' first primary language is gifts. Because if it is, I also kaput lah. Because they don't complain. So I praise God. They don't complain that they don't have the newest gadget or compare themselves to their peers. But they always say, mom, I need your time. Can we talk now? Sure. And it's on. And I was just, child, I'm so tired. Can I sleep now? And then my child would say, but mom, I'm not tired. But I said, but I am tired. And then she said, but I'm not tired. I need to talk some more. I still have a lot of things to say. And to make things worse, my child will say, you see, dad doesn't hear when I say. So you need to hear me when I'm saying. I say, sure. And then, touch is another thing that's big in the family. I didn't grow up in a family that touched a lot because we're a typical Chinese family. But it is untrue to say that Asian family do not like touch. It's just that we are not trained that way. We're not exposed that way. And we have to start somewhere. And so my kids were like, Mom, I need a hug. Mom, I need a kiss. You have not kissed me yet. So it's a lot of attention, you know, being given to children. And it's good. It's good. But it's a society designed for the young and on the go. But I want to highlight that today we want to think about our parents' needs, especially aging parents, placing the value on honoring them. And then you ask, what if my parents are ungodly parents? What if my parents do not deserve my honor? Because parents are imperfect people. Some parents abandoned us when we were born. Some parents in dysfunctional family themselves cannot function as a good mother or a good father. This is the fact of life, that not every one of us have good sets of parents, have good families. If we have, thank God, but not all. And especially in the last 20, 30 years, we know that the enemy's attack is always on the family. And there's a lot of dysfunctional family all over the world, and Malaysia is not spared. That we have a lot of breakdown in our society simply because families are not functioning as it is being designed by the Lord. And so when we don't have functional fathers and mothers, we grow up being dysfunctional ourselves. But then we ask, when we get saved and come into the church, and the church says, honor your father and mother, and you ask, why do I need to honor them when they don't deserve my honor? The answer is very simple. It is the command of the Lord. Honor your father and your mother. Whether they are good fathers or good mother, you do your part. You and I honor them because that is the command of the Lord. Because that is the principle of God. I was just reading an article, and this person wrote to, you know, like those Dear Thelma thing, you know. Dear Thelma, Dear Amy, Dear Doctor, whatever. And this is a Christian site, okay. And so he was writing and says that, you know, I grew up with a set of parents that are dysfunctional. My mom is alcoholic and my dad is financially, he didn't make it. And so he grew up very hurt. But as a young adult now, he says, I am taking care of them. I have to finance them. But he says, how do I honor them and yet not feeling this way? Because he's feeling guilty that he's not able to come to terms to have that inward attitude of loving and honoring them. Means he is doing all these outward acts, but he's not being able to carry that in his heart. And so he said, dear so-and-so, what am I supposed to do? If you're in that situation, what are you supposed to do? Now, everything that the response of, I don't know, it's the pastor or minister that respond, everything was good, except one thing he said that I did not agree was, he says, honor them anyway, because it's the command of the Lord. Then he says, it's a shame that you need to finance your parents. My heart break. I'm not sure. But in this part of the world, we are trained, taught that we need to look into the needs of our aging parents. So I don't know what makes him say that. He says, it's a shame that you still need to finance your parents, but honor them anyway. So I want to say here that even if it includes financing your parents when they're aging, if it's in your capacity, do it as much as you can. Because you have no idea. You have no absolute idea until you become a father or a mother how much time, sweat, energy and money they spend on you. My former classmate, before she had a kid, she took out her calculator and she started calculating. And she said, she called me and she said, Selena, she's not a Christian. She says, I can't have a kid. I said, why? She says, my calculator just blew up. I said, really? Yeah. Because she calculated how much she would spend on milk powder, diapers, education, etc. and etc. and etc. from 0 years to 18 years old. She said, tabulela, how to have a kid? I said, if you count like this, no one can have a kid. Because whatever you count now, 18 years later, the deprivation of money. Now she had two, of course. But she says, cannot. She said, my calculator just got smoke come out. My own cousin did the same thing. She said, she only had one. She said, because I want to give the best. I said, that's not giving the best to your kid. You just deprive them of sibling relationship. I have another Christian friend, Christian leader, said the same thing to us. Said, we only decide to have one child. I said, why? And no more. And truly, no more. Why? I said, why? He says, because we want to give the best to that one child. We cannot give the best if we have a second or a third child. What did the Bible say? Be fruitful and multiply. I would say, if God give us, God will provide. How did God provide for four? Only God knows. Everybody think that I'm a tai tai, you know? You know what's tai tai? Tai tai is a rich lady, married to rich man, you know? I don't have to work, you see? So people found out I don't have work, I have four kids, homeschool, I'm a tai tai. So if we're going to calculate that way, we're not going to make it in life. So if your parents were going to calculate that way, you will not make it here today. Even if you're very poor parents who did not give you all your wants, the best gadget, the best designer clothes, still, the milk powder kills, you know. I'm so thankful that I breastfed all four because milk powder is so expensive. So expensive. One day I walk in because I don't need to buy milk powder. And one day I walk into the supermarket and when I saw the price on the tin, I want to paint sun. I told Edward, wow, how to even buy one tin? And my friends told me one tin of milk powder lasts 2 weeks. I said, you crazy. More than 100 ringgit. And if you give Pediasure means like Mercedes, you know, Pediasure. And you give Dumex. This is from my doctor. Dumex is kanjil. So my doctor said, you choose. Both will get you to the destination. I choose breastfeeding. He never gave me that choice. He said, Dumex or Pediasure. He never said, your milk. So I said, I won't choose Pediasure and I won't choose Dumex. I'll choose human milk. Your parents spend hours of anxiety. Now there's an article that says that mothers, the moment you become mother, you have given a big part of yourself away that you can never retrieve back. Correct, Christy? You cannot retrieve back. Think twice, huh? Once you have baby, once the baby out, you give a big part of yourself away that you will never, ever retrieve back. That is your emotion. My mom always tell me when I was younger, you will never understand until you become a mom. She always tell me that phrase, you will never understand until you become a mom. You will never understand until you become a mom. And surely, when I became a mom, I understood the wise words of my mom. Because I never understood what it meant. What did she say? Because that emotion given to your kids, you'll never ever take it back. It's not how much you punch on your calculator that you cannot take back. It's the emotion, that mental anxiety. You know, there's one article this mom says, every time a child dies, I will be thinking of my own kid. What if it's my kid? Every time a child has been kidnapped, I'll be thinking, what if it's my kid? That is emotion that you cannot dissect. You cannot. I can't speak on behalf of fathers. You got to ask the fathers. I don't know. What is it that is a big part of you that you cannot take back? And so even if you have bad parents, ungodly parents, honor them anyway, because that is the principle of love that God commands us. If you can't think of anything to be thankful, thank you for their coming together so that you can be here. Thank you that she labored. The labor pain is very painful, you know. We were just talking after the worship congress that night over our supper. I don't know how this labor thing came out. And these guys were asking me, is it really painful? I said, what do you think? After 4 times, I'm still telling you it's very painful. And then one person said, but my mom said, it's not true one now. You look at the movies, not true one, not painful one. I say, your mother lied to you. And so one of them say, hey, you know or not? I didn't know. He says, you know or not? I grew up so scared that I'll get pregnant. Because the movies always shows that it's so painful to deliver kids. I said, that's why you got to honor your mom for doing that. To bring you out into this beautiful world. So even if you cannot think of what to thank them or be grateful, thank you for they come together and gave birth to you and you are no accident from God. Amen? You still honor why? Even if they don't deserve it. Grace. Parents need grace too. Parents are imperfect people like you and me. They need grace. Don't say, you also like that, what? Always call me, you also like that. Grace. They are not perfect. So even if you think that you are, don't know how to grant honor to them, then exercise grace. Because we receive amazing grace from God. And the Bible says nobody, absolutely no one in the Bible that is righteous before God except the Lord Jesus Christ himself. So we cannot cast a stone against our ungodly parents, but we can only grant them grace. So what is the result of our obedience? The word of God that we read just now, the fifth commandment comes with a promise. It says what? That you will have long life in the land that God has given to you if you honor your parents. The result of our obedience for that commandment, number 2, is pleasing to God. 1 Timothy 5 tells us that it is pleasing to God. So we do it because, first of all, it is a response of our honor unto God. If we say we honor God, we better honor our parents. Because it's pleasing to God when we obey His command. And so some application. Think about your own life and my own life. How is our relationship with our father or our mother if they're still around? If they are not around, still think about it because you can still pray that redemption is in that prayer. There's nothing you can do anymore if your parents are dead. But maybe you have unresolved issues in your spirit and your heart. And until you resolve that, you will be carried down to your generation. So even if your parents are no more on this earth, I still want us to take this time to evaluate our own relationship with our father and our mother and do what it takes to close that chapter and resolve that conflict within our own heart so that we will honor them as we close this chapter. But for those who can still do something, if you have been honoring your parents, very good. continue to do it. Make it even better. Be creative. But if you have lack in them, then can I encourage you that think of what can be done? And some of you may think that it's so hard. It's not my culture to take my father or my mother out alone. You got to start somewhere. Do it. You will never know how much delight you're going to bring to their heart because it has never been done before. Do it anyway. Redeem whatever remaining time you have with your father or your mother. And there may be seemingly impossible situation, but can we allow God to intervene for us, to step in, step into our relationship and mend whatever that needs to be mended? And you say, how? How do I honor my parents? Be creative, huh? God made us creative, right? So what are the practical steps? Exercise the 5 love languages. If you do not know what I'm talking about, all of us give and receive love in 5 different ways, not necessarily the same. So the 5 ways are touch. Some people, their emotional tank fills up when they get a hug, when they get a kiss, or even a pat on the shoulder, and they get, oh, I feel good. Garfield said, I feel good. Da-da-da-da-da-da. Right. Some people, you give them gifts. Right, Jesse? Gifts. You give them gifts. They're like, oh, I feel so loved. Oh, this is the best shofar, man. Even though it's just a small one, right? Some people, you give them gifts. It's like, okay, thank you. Means, not that they don't appreciate, but it's not their primary language. Some people, it's words. You have to tell them, you are so beautiful. You're so handsome, awesome. You did a great job, incredible. Nobody can do it like you. Then you feel, ah. Some of you just want time. Come on, time. You never spend time with me. How can you say you love me? I need time, okay? Time. Not 10 minutes, but 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, whole night. And they say, wow, so nice. Some people need acts of service. You do things for them. Then they feel loved and cherished. Did I cover 5? Yeah. So you can give one way, but you can receive another way. So find out about your parents. Do a little experiment at home. How does your mom or your dad one love in return? They may give you gifts, they may lavish gifts on you, but they may not be necessarily wanting gifts in return. Are you with me? So we need to learn the love language of the person that we are caring for. So a little homework for you, if you still have your mom and dad around, would you think about, if you do not know, what is their love language? What can you do out of this 5 that will make them feel good? That, hey, my child loves me. Hey, my child honor me. If you say, I do not know, Pastor. Good news for you. Do all 5. Okay? Sure. Just throw 5. Sure, we're gonna, right? You will succeed. Do all 5. So you can call them if they're not in town or you're out of town. You can write. You can text, buy them gifts. I don't know. You only know your parents. Do whatever it takes to redeem that time. Be examples. Even as parents, we need to be examples. If we want our next generation to pick this honor key, we need to honor our own parents. So if I have kids, I need to show them from young that, hey, I'm honoring my parents. And the Bible says you will reap what you sow. It's a biblical principle. I watch my father and my mom and honor their parents. My dad has fantastic parents. My grandfather is a Christian. My grandma is not a Christian. But they're fantastic parents and grandparents. But my mom grew up in a very dysfunctional home. The mom didn't take care of her, but she still chose in the mother's old age, she still chose to honor. And I'm so grateful because my parents showed me what it means to honor their parents despite they were not trained or grew up in church. And it passed down. It's my turn to honor them as they honor their parents. Whatever little that we can do, whatever best that we can do out of that little, that limitation, we will do it in that capacity. And so, whatever you sow in that generation, it flows down. So even if you're not thinking about your parents, think about yourself. Do you want, when you become parents, to have dishonoring children? You just walk around in the mall these days, or sit around in a coffee shop. I just told Edward, you don't have to eavesdrop people's conversation. Nowadays, people talk so loud, you know. You listen to everything they say in the next table. Last week, I was waiting for my children when they were having dance. So I sat in one of the cafe in Paragon. And the next table, I was telling Edward, I think this guy is trying to con the youngsters. He's like, stupid young man, get out. So sitting there telling them of their business plan proposal. And I can vomit everything out after their conversation. 2 hours, he was just ranting away non-stop. I said, well, this guy really can talk, huh? Non-stop, you know. But he wasn't aware that people are listening to his conversation. You know what I mean? So be careful when you talk, when you go out. You know, people can, now with a smartphone, and then talk so loud. So you just observe in the mall. It's very heartbreaking. Sometimes little children, how they behave and dishonor their parents. How youngsters and teenagers talk to their elders. We cannot do anything in the world out there. But we have to do something within the church so that when you go out, you can be a transformer. Are you with me? When people watch you and your parents, you're going to be a testimony. You don't need to say anything. You just need to honor your parents and your friends will watch you. It's the society that we see. Why the Lord brought us to this whole series on honor is because it is a misplaced key. People have forgotten what honor means. And it has to begin with honoring God and covering all those authorities that we have been talking about and now parents. And so as we close today, like I say, this is a straightforward message that I pray and ask God that you will just take this honor key back and do something. So I just want to leave with you this key of honor, ring your parents today as we close right now, as the worship team comes and lead us into this time. I want us to reflect on our own life. How have we been? How have we been with our parents? How can we show them gratitude? Father, we want to honor your presence in this place. We honor, God, the word that you have given to us so that we can live life and life abundantly. Father, you say in your word that you have given us everything that we need to lead a godly life. And God, this season we want to continue to learn what it means to honor you and to honor people, beginning with the closest in our lives. God, we come to you and we ask God in this time of reflection, you will lead us to think of our lives, our relationship with our father and our mother. Good or bad, we want to give you thanks. This is your moment with the Lord. Thank your parents. Thank God for your parents. For the things they have done for you. For the care they have shown to you. Ask God for forgiveness if we have lack in honoring them. Ask God for creative ways to do this again and again. Father, we declare as a church, we stand to honor you, God. where we have lacked, Lord, we ask for your forgiveness. That, Lord, you will teach us continuously to honor you with all that we have and all that we are. That, Father, we will listen and obey every commandment. And, Lord, today, we declare, O God, that the commandment number 5 will stand out, and we choose to honor our father and our mother. And we thank you that, Lord, your word says that when we do that, we will be blessed by you. We will have a long life in the land that you have given to us. Father, we pray, O God, for every person that's represented here. We pray for healing and restoration in the family, O God. Father, we ask for restoration and reconciliation between father and children, father and mother, mother and children. Father, we pray, O God, that you will turn our hearts towards our homes. And Lord, we will look to you and give you thanks because you gave us our fathers and our mothers. And it's because of them we can be here. And God, teach us to honor them the best that we can be for their life on this earth. We ask that you will bless our parents, young and old, healthy or sick, that you will touch every father and every mother. Lord, we can only stand to say thank you. Thank you because you honor us, God. You honor us as your child. And Father, in times when we are stuck in a conflict between choosing you and choosing people, including our parents, the Lord, you will teach us the intensity, the depth of your word that says that if we love you, we are to deny ourselves, pick up the cross, and hate our father and mother and follow you. That, Father, we will have a clear understanding of that scripture. That when you say that, Lord, you are telling us, reminding us, impressing upon our hearts that crucial step to first honor you. That, Lord, you're not asking us to hate our parents. That will be contradicting to what you ask us to do to honor them. But God, in the context of that scripture, I ask that, Lord, we'll understand the intensity of denying ourselves and picking up the cross and follow you. That when we have to choose between you and people, you and situation in our lives, we will always choose you, Lord. Because when we choose you, you will make things happen beautifully in your time. Give us the courage and the boldness, especially for those, Lord, with unchurched parents, that this season I want to pray and declare and decree redemption in our families. Our fathers and mothers will turn to Christ Jesus. I pray, Lord, for living testimony, for powerful testimony, for your sons and your daughters in this place, that when they choose to honor you, God, you will honor them and grant salvation for their family in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you. We know that you are good, and we are standing in a season of redemption, and we are praying for the redemption of our families, beginning with our fathers and our mothers, our siblings, our uncles, our aunties, our grandparents. We want to honor them too, Lord. We thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.